Hate is not hate in Luke 14. It is in 1 John 2. Walk the walk. Do what Jesus says. Heavenly Father, I pray that you will help us to learn to love the way you love, that we will not hate anyone, no matter what they've done, to offend us, or hurt us, or anger us, or scare us. I pray that you will help us to live the kind of loving life that Jesus lived when he walked this planet. I pray that you will help us to follow his example of a life lived in your love. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 1 John 2, 9-11, TPT. Anyone who says, I am in the light, while holding hatred in his heart toward a fellow believer, is still in the darkness. But the one who truly loves a fellow believer lives in the light, and there is nothing in him that will cause someone else to stumble. But whoever hates a fellow believer lives in the darkness, stumbling around in the dark with no clue where he is going, for he is blinded by the darkness. So love is right and hate is wrong. The word hate is used again in Luke 14, 25-27, but it means a completely different thing. In our reading today, hatred usually comes from anger, hurt or fear, means an intense disliking, hostility, enmity, tendency to wish harm on them, while love means to treat them as more significant than yourself, with a tendency to speak blessings over them and pray for them. In Luke 14, hate is not hate. Hate means put aside or love less than. Hate means make it less important than the relationship with our loving Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Luke 14, verse 26 in the NKJV says, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. To explain this a bit better, let's read it. Luke 14, verse 25-27 in TPT. As massive crowds followed Jesus, he turned to them and said, when you follow me as my disciple, you must put aside your father, your mother, your wife, your sisters, your brothers. Yes, you will even seem as though you hate your own life. This is the price you'll pay to be considered one of my disciples. And anyone who comes to me must be willing to share my cross and experience it as his own, or he cannot be considered to be my disciple. So we can see that the word that some translations have as hate does not actually mean hate in the dictionary meaning of the word. It means to love less than Jesus. This sentiment is further explained a little bit later on in the chapter in 1 John 2 verse 15, NKJV. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. In this instance, it's talking about the importance that the world has in our hearts. And if things of the world are more important to you than things of our heavenly family, our heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, then we're in trouble. After all, where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. That's in Matthew 6:21, TPT. For your heart will always pursue what you esteem as your treasure. So whatever is important to you, that's where your desires are, that's where you spend time, that's what you focus on, that's what you enjoy. So it is important to have our loving Heavenly Family as the center of our existence, as the reason we are alive, which is actually true in and of itself, because without the planet that they created and the air that we breathe, we wouldn't exist. So apart from the practicality of being the reason we're alive, they should be our reason for getting up in the morning, our reason for existing day to day or living day to day, and for living a decent life. Some folk who are atheists don't see the existence of God as a necessary part of our existence. Never mind that their idea of where creation came from, where mankind came from, takes a wild leap of anybody's imagination. Some or other speck of dust that exploded, and some or other amoeba that existed for thousands or millions of years. Yeah, I don't have enough faith to believe in that. But I do believe in a powerful, loving Creator God who chose on purpose to create a place where we could live because He wants to have fellowship with us, His children. So from today's scripture, we have established that darkness is the absence of love and light is the presence of love. John's Gospel starts with these timeless words in John 1, verse 1 to 5, NKJV. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Some translations say, and the darkness did not overcome it. Now, from a purely scientific point of view, darkness is nothingness, and light is energy, particles, substance, somethingness. And nothing cannot overcome something, because nothing has no force, nothing has no momentum, nothing has no form or shape or weight or energy. Light is energy, it's particles, it's energy, it's power. And that power came straight out of the mouth of God when He said, "Light be," as recorded in Genesis 1. So our scripture refers to living in love. And this idea is also spelled out in 1 Peter 3, verse 8 to 12, TPT. Now this is the goal, to live in harmony with one another, and demonstrate affectionate love, sympathy, and kindness toward other believers. Let humility describe who you are as you dearly love one another. Never retaliate when someone treats you wrongly, nor insult those who insult you, but instead respond by speaking a blessing over them, because a blessing is what God promised to give you. For the scriptures tell us, whoever wants to embrace true life and find beauty in each day must stop speaking evil, hurtful words and never deceive in what they say. Always turn from what is wrong and cultivate what is good. Eagerly pursue peace in every relationship, making it your prize. For the eyes of the Lord Yahweh rest upon the godly, and His heart responds to their prayers. But He turns His back on those who practice evil. So, Jesus Himself said in Luke 10, verse 16, NKJV, "He who hears you, hears me. He who rejects you, rejects me. And he who rejects me, rejects him who sent me." So when we reject Jesus, we are rejecting the Father, because they are one. And when people reject us, they are rejecting our Redeemer who sent us. This is shown in Acts 9, verse 4. Then he fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" Then the Lord said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. It is hard for you to kick against the goads." So he, trembling and astonished, said, "Lord, what do you want me to do?" Every believer is part of the body of Christ, so when a believer is persecuted, it is as if you are doing it to Jesus Christ Himself. That doesn't only apply to persecution, it applies to doing good things as well. Jesus said so Himself in Matthew 25, verse 34 to 40. "Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me.' Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in? Or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me.'" So when we do things for people, we're not just putting on a show, we are doing it because If they are Christians, they are part of Christ's body and we are doing it as if we are doing it to Jesus himself. And if they are non-Christians, they are still created in God's image, and as such, they have that beauty that only God creates, because he is a beautiful, loving, wonderful God. So we are encouraged in Isaiah 60 verse 1, TPT 2. Rise up in splendor and be radiant, for your light has dawned, and Yahweh's glory now streams from you. We're used to hearing that in NKJV. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. So we have a reason to do good, to show love, to reach out to people. And that reason is basically just obedience to our loving Redeemer. He said so in Luke 6, verse 45 to 49. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. But why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things which I say? Whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against that house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. But he who heard and did nothing is like a man who built a house on the earth without a foundation, against which the stream beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. So it seems that storms come in our lives, whether we built on a good foundation or without a foundation. So it's not like, oh, if you've got a good foundation, you're going to face storms. Nope. If you've got a good foundation or no foundation, storms will still come. But when we obey Jesus, that's when it's actually to our benefit, and it shows that you are wise. It also shows your love and respect for Jesus. And Jesus encourages us again in Matthew 5 verse 16, TPT. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others, so that the commendable things you do will shine as light upon them, and then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. So the reason we do things is not for our own glory, is not for a pat on the back. It is for the glory and for the praise of our beautiful, loving Heavenly Father. This is reiterated in Psalm 115 verse 1 in KJV. Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but to your name give glory, because of your mercy, because of your truth. And so just as the moon reflects the sun, that's S-U-N, that's that shiny ball of fire in the sky. In the same way, we reflect God's love and glory as we reflect the sun. That's S-O-N, that's the Son of God, Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. So, shine your lights.